Amen. Don't you enjoy that worship? Isn't that special? I love that song, Give Me Jesus. Amen. Is that your prayer today? Give me Jesus. Of all the things that you could seek after today, there's nothing more valuable than seeking His face. So I would encourage you, don't seek His hand always. God will give you things. God will bless you. But sometimes I think the church needs to quit seeking the hand of God and start seeking the face of God. Amen. Today we're coming out of the Acts chapter 6. Just going to read the first 7 verses. Acts 6, it's a very familiar portion of Scripture. Some would say this is the calling of the first deacons. Doesn't specifically say that. I guess you could make that jump and it would be, it's an all right assumption, but I don't know that's exactly what it was. But the title that I titled this is Problems Can Create Opportunities. Problems can create opportunities, obviously, for growth. And so Acts chapter 6, it says, Now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, It's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. That's like an ordination service. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Father God, we come before you. Father, I thank you, Lord, that your word is anointed. I pray, Lord, now for every person in this place that our hearts and our ears would be anointed to hear the word of God. God, I pray right now as I just release my faith to believe that the Holy Spirit is going to rest upon every heart, and you're going to take the word that I speak, and you're going to take the message of God and plant it deeply into their hearts, whatever they need. And Father, if I don't say it, I pray, Lord, you just plant it anyway, God. But Lord, use the words of my mouth, Lord, as a conduit. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The church was started on the day of Pentecost. And immediately after it started that day, 3,000 people got saved on the day of Pentecost and the church was born. But as soon as that happened, Satan went to work. Satan decided, I think he knew this was going to be powerful. This was something I better try to get a hold of, right? And so he began to try to plant things in the church. And the first thing that we saw that he planted was a fake, an imposter of sorts, Ananias and Sapphira. They were looking for respect. They were looking for position, but they did not have the character to sustain the position of that authority. And so the Lord took care of that. And so in 1 Corinthians 13, we hear these verses. And it says, though I speak with the tongues of man and of angels and have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. You know, the church has a bit of a problem in the fact that we tend to want to elevate gifting. We do not need to elevate gifting. We need to examine the fruit of character. And that's what they didn't have. So the Lord took care of it. So I love how Paul says, it doesn't matter if I speak like an angel. It doesn't matter if I moved in the gift of prophecy or if I do this or that. If I don't have love, I'm nothing. I've thought a lot about this, and I'm a big believer And the mission of the church is to win souls. But the question came to my mind, what is more important? Is it more important that one of our missions is love or to win souls? What's the most important? It's actually love. See, if we win souls and bring them into the house where there is no love, we haven't really helped them. Now, folks, it's not an either or. We are to do both, right? We are to win souls because Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. If that was his mission, it needs to be the mission of every church. But our mission also must be, one of our main priorities must be love. Tony spoke yesterday at the men's group and he quoted this in Luke chapter 22, I believe it is, 37, where the scribe asked Jesus, he said, what's the most important commandments? And Jesus said, it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is likened to it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Folks, that's still real. It's still, if you do those two things, you've completed the law, right? You have fulfilled what the Lord wants us to do. So after that little thing, now Satan is sly and he begins to move in again. That first trap didn't work, so he tries another trap. And this trap is called discord. And he uses prejudice. You know, that's the same thing that's happening in our churches today. Churches are divided. You know, there's a whole lot more prejudice than just black and white. There's people that don't like fat people. Shame on you. Us fat people are awfully sweet, y'all not. There's people that are prejudiced against educated people or uneducated people or rich people. We find so many different arenas in life to separate. But God wants us to come together under the umbrella of love. So what was happening is there was two types of Jewish people. One was Hebrew speaking, one was Greek speaking, and the Greek speaking are called Hellenists in the word. And the Hellenists were saying, they're not treating our widows right. The Hebrew speaking widows are getting a whole lot more help than our widows. Folks, let me just say, was the problem real? Yeah, it was a real problem. It was really happening. And God had to give the apostles the wisdom to handle this. And in handling this, we can glean a lot of stuff out of this. So I really want you to stay engaged today because I just got excited about this. I've preached this before, but I've never preached it with what the Lord gave me this time. So number one is the problems handled correctly will be opportunities of growth. And it's James chapter 1. James writes this, and he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Come on, look at me for a second. Be happy when the world's falling apart. Hallelujah. When it all hell breaks loose against you. Oh, that's a Kelleher rendition. When all hell breaks loose against you, face it with joy. Yeah, you guys got about as excited as I did. Says, knowing this, the testing of your faith produces patience. But the next verse says something like this, and let patience have its perfect work, that you may be mature, lacking nothing. Do you realize that the Lord doesn't want you to lack? Did you hear me? The Lord doesn't want you to lack. He wants to provide what you need. And some of how we handle our problems is going to help in this arena. You're going to find the Lord as you handle things. I wanted to read something to you by Chuck Swindoll. Some of you have probably heard this. Many of you probably have. It's something that Chuck Swindoll wrote, I think, 40 years ago. And it's called Attitude. And if you've never seen this or heard this, I'd love for you to Google it. Chuck Swindoll, Attitude, and you ought to print it off and put it on your mirror. You ever worked for somebody or worked with somebody that you never know who's going to show up that day? Is Dr. Jekyll going to show up or Hyde's going to show up? Oh, it's the same person, it's the same body, but you don't know what attitude they're coming to work. Well, that's difficult, isn't it? And you know, I'm guilty. Are you guilty? You probably are. We probably are. So listen to this. He said, the longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It's more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures or success. Plural. And then what other people think, say, or do. It's more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, or a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude that we'll embrace for that day. We cannot change our past, and we cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing that we can do is play the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. We're in charge of our attitude. How do you handle problems? What do you do? What do you do when you wake up and everything just seems to have gone wrong? You know, I'm going to tell you, my dad wasn't a Christian, but he taught me this. Mechanical things break. Anything mechanical is eventually going to break. So the devil don't get in your refrigerator and cause it to break, right? It's a mechanical thing. It's something mechanical. Those things break, you know? However, I have noticed when the washer breaks and the refrigerator breaks and the car won't start and everything happens at once, you better be aware the Satan may be in that. Why? Because he's trying to steal your joy. How are you going to happen when all of hell breaks loose? And if you're not mature in the Lord to realize those days are coming, they are coming. Satan will test you whether you're going to walk in faith or whether you're walking in the flesh. So those are the times you pray, and those are the times you rejoice, even when bad things are happening. Why would you rejoice when bad things are happening? Because he is still in control. And my life is not dependent upon my circumstances. That's from the Lord. Did you hear that? My life is not dependent on how much money I make. It's not dependent upon whether people are good to me or hateful to me. My life is dependent upon him. Give me Jesus. Amen. So I just want you to understand how you handle your problems really will result in your growth. Number two is this problem was real. It was really a problem. And problems come. We have problems in our home. We have problems in our church. We have problems at work. Problems are real. And Romans chapter 12, I'm reading this out of the NLT, verses 9 through 13. He says, don't just pretend to love others. That's pretty good. I got a text here I need to get. No, I'm saying. Where'd you send that? Pictures? Well, I can't find it. My point was this. We want to say that we love God. But sometimes we look at other people and say, but I hate them. I want you to know that doesn't compute with the Lord. And so, thank you, dear. I'm technology challenged. I heard this coming to church today, listening to David Jeremiah, and this is about Dorothy Day. And it says, I really only love God. Have I got your attention? I really only love God as much as I love the person I love the least. That hits sort of hard, doesn't it? So this scripture says, the old King James, let love be sincere. Let love be sincere, especially in the body of Christ, right? So it says, the NLT, don't just pretend to love each other. Really love them. Hate what's wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with a genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Don't be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Having a friendly church is of great value to me. It's one of the things that I believe the Lord told me when we first started the church, is one of our very most important attributes was to love each other. Folks, to love each other means that we constantly have to be looking to love the new one. Don't just love your clique. Be willing to reach out and to invite others to your Sunday school class. He's focusing on different Sunday school classes. There's not a better than. They're all good. But it's about getting to know each other intimately so that we can pray for each other, so we can just love each other and intertwine our lives more together. The third thing that I see is the apostles had a dilemma. And so do you oftentimes. How am I going to handle this problem? The problem is real. Really needed to be solved. And so the apostles are sitting here thinking, what are we going to do about this? And so what they did is they called a multitude. I don't know if you caught that, but they called a multitude of disciples together. And they said, we need to select some men full of the Holy Ghost, of good reputation, and full of wisdom. And these men can help us with the waiting on the tables, with the distribution, the daily distribution. Why? Because we do not want to neglect prayer and Bible study. Mm-mm-mm. Do you realize how often the urgent replaces the important? Sometimes immediate things come up in your life and you're tempted to replace everything that I daily do, and I've got to solve this. And it doesn't have to be that important, but it's screaming like a baby needs a change of diaper. That's important, right? Has to be done. And oftentimes, if we're not careful, the urgent replaces prayer in our life. And so I love this because they focused, their emphasis was on prayer and studying the Word. They realized there is nothing more important than this. Are these widows important? Absolutely. Pure and undefiled religion is to take care of widows and orphans. That's what James says, right? That's the Word. That's real. That's true. That's of importance. But is it more important? Should we give ourselves to following this? What are we called to do? I promise you, if you've not faced this, well, let me rephrase that. I promise you, you've already faced this. You may not recognize it, but this is where we live. The Bible says this, the cares of this life will choke off the Word. What's that talking about? It's talking about paying your electric bill. Have you been to the grocery lately? Dear God, I feel like I need to take out a loan just to go to Kroger, right? I mean, groceries have gone, those are real problems. But are you going to let it steal your joy? Are you going to let those things replace my time with the Lord? I have a statement here that I didn't come up with, but I got it out of my Bible. I love this. Now you need to listen closely. I don't believe I put this in there. The earliest recorded administrative decision by the apostles. Their first administrative decision after Pentecost places the ministry of prayer as the highest priority. You know, I do marriage counseling and different things like that, and premarital counseling. Watching Jimmy Evans, he's a great preacher that talks a lot about marriage, and He's talking about the importance of sex. I'm diverting just a little bit. And he says, when you talk to men and you do surveys, and they've done surveys, and when men talk about this, it's either their first priority or their second priority is sex in the marriage. When they surveyed women, it came up number 13. Gardening came before it. You know what I'm saying? We have different priorities. You get my point? Was not talking about sex. My point is our priorities are different. And life can take turns to where we lose what's really important. Does that make sense? What is your priority? Is prayer still a priority for you? Or is prayer the last thing? I dare to say there's probably not a lot of people in here that would say, if I said, give me your list of priorities, that you put prayer number one. You may say family. The religious thing is to say God. God's my number one priority. I don't believe it. I think that's, it's got to be a conscious choice. And so the apostle said, we have got to keep this as our priority. Can I say this? It cost them. It cost them. I promise you, if you keep prayer as your number one priority, if it's not your number one priority, I pray that you are dealt with by the Holy Spirit today and you make it a number one priority. And if you do, I promise you, it will cost you. Trials will come. Satan will tempt you to move off of that priority. The apostle's solution was to get together and choose seven men. He says, of good reputation. It matters what people think of you in this community. Do you have a good reputation? That matters. Or do people talk about you as being high-tempered and loose lips? I didn't say that in the first service. So I'm just saying that might be from the Holy Ghost. Do you have a good reputation? When you walk into a room, does the peace of God follow you, or division come with you? Do you fight with everybody you meet? Are you peaceful? Are you of good reputation? It matters. You hear me? Those things matter. But the second thing he said, are you full of the Holy Spirit? And it just caused a question to come to my mind. And I thought, does the Lord give me more Holy Spirit than he gives Stephanie? No. That's not what he's saying. He doesn't say that some of you are going to get a double dose and some of you won't get as much as the others. That's not what he means by being full of the Holy Ghost. See, if you're born again, the Holy Spirit's inside of you. And so what matters is how much are you listening to him? When he says, are you full of the Holy Ghost? I love what Galatians chapter 5 out of the NIV says. Now the old King James says to walk in the Spirit of God. But the NIV says this, keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, it's a daily walk. Amen. Lord, as I'm going about my business, as I'm cleaning the house, or as I'm changing diapers, or maybe I'm a nurse and I'm taking care of people, or what, am I listening to the Holy Ghost? That's what being full of the, well, let me go one more step. Don't just listen, but then you got to do it. You know what grieving the Holy Spirit means? It means he's speaking and you're turning a deaf ear to him. Or you're literally saying, I hear you, but I ain't doing that. You ever done that? Treva has. No. You know, the Lord speaks to you and says, I want you to give $100 in the offering today. And you say, get thee behind me, Satan. Well, that may not be Satan. That might be Jesus. I just wonder, would we make that list? When people look at your life, would they say something like this? Man, they're just full of the Holy Spirit. is love exuberated in your life? Are you a person? Does that make sense? Well, let's just go to James chapter 5 and verse 16. And so I want you to listen to these lists, okay? Because in James chapter 5, he gives us two lists. The first list is walking in the flesh, and the second list is walking in the Spirit. He says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit, I think, oh, they'll be up there. Let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us the desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting in each other. You ever feel that? You feel the Spirit and your old flesh fighting sometimes? Do you feel it daily? Because it's probably happening daily, right? The flesh is saying, I want this, I want this. And the Spirit of God says, no, you don't need that. Let's do something different. He says, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you're directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation to follow or to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Now listen, if you hadn't listened to a word I said, I want you to listen to this because I'm going to ask you a question. Sexual immorality, which the Greek word is porneia, which we would get pornography. Impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, which is pharmakia, drug use. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, that's really like within the church, destroying the unity, envy, drunkenness, and wild parties, and other sins like these. He said, let me tell you again, now don't get mad at me, this I'm just reading, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's pretty clear, folks. Pretty clear. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in your lives. Love, which is the agape, the selfless. It's patient, it's kind. Goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. There is no law against these things. Now listen to me. I've read the two lists. Which list describes your life? Do you identify more with the first list or the second list? If you identify with the first list, you need to repent and ask Jesus in your heart. Are you listening? Sometimes we need to take a self-evaluation. But here's what I found as being a pastor, being someone that talks to people a lot. Sometimes we're really hard on each other. Sometimes we're hard on ourselves. Sometimes we offer a lot more grace to other people than we do to ourselves. See, I think that as I've read these lists, that you may get mad at yourself. You may be talking bad about yourself right now. But I'd almost guarantee you that you see a whole lot more of you in the second list than you do the first. You hear me? Do you know what that means? Well done. Well done. Say, I used to be like list number one. Yeah, we all did. But God has forgiven me. And he pulled me out of that pit. And the things I used to do, I don't do any longer. Well done. Do you hear what I'm saying? I have not come to condemn you today. I've come to slap you on the back just a little bit. And say, God is moving in you whether you see it or not. You're not as ugly as you used to be. Thank you, Jesus. Have I perfected? No. But I'm a whole lot better than I used to be. Let me just tell you something about list number two. You don't do it. He does it. It's called fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness. When you are walking with Jesus, like I said, when you are walking in the Spirit, I don't have to try to be good. It's a fruit that comes out of my life. All I do is try to please Him. I don't have to try to love you. But if I please Him, I love you. Does that make sense? See, it gives 9 words there, but it says fruit. It doesn't say fruits. The fruits of the Spirit. I believe this. Now, you can disagree if you want to be wrong. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And those other 8 words are sort of part of love. The joy and the peace and the long-suffering and the gentleness. If I'm challenged, I'm challenged with that one. The gentleness. Yeah, I figured you would. I knew I said that on the wrong side of the church. Not always gentle. But self-control is a bit of a problem too. Especially if there's chocolate-covered peanuts in them. Chocolate, oh, my self-control can go right out of the window. Are you hearing me today? I know you've not arrived. But I'm telling you, the Lord's working in your life. You hear me? Jesus is working in your life. So what do I need to do? Listen more to Him. Listen more to Him. Listen more to the Spirit of God and try to obey. Why? When you obey, it's really my number one desire, and really it's my prayer before I ever get out of bed. Lord, help me to hear the Holy Spirit and be obedient today. Let me walk in Your ways. It's really where we live. So that our problems coming? Yes. I promise you. You're going to have challenges in life. I promise you. Satan will see fit to it. But you can overcome. He's made us overcomers. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And the word of our testimony needs to be, I'm following the Spirit of God. Right? Amen. So I believe that the Lord has a word today for us. And that word is a challenge for us. And it's this. I believe God is still calling people. I don't believe that God calls everybody to the pulpit. I don't believe everybody's called to preach or everybody's called to do something that we would say that's a full-time ministry. No. You're missing it if you think that. God is calling you to be doctors and lawyers and nurses, gas station attendants, cooks. God is calling you to work at Dana. Does this make sense? God is calling you to be the light wherever you're at, wherever God has placed. That's a calling. And I believe specifically today, God is calling you to leadership. Not everyone. But there's a few people in this church right now that the Lord is speaking to you. And I feel like He's saying something like this. Come up hither. That's old King James right there. Come up hither. Come on up to leadership. Let me say this. I want more. You ever heard the Holy Ghost? You know, we used to sing that song. More of you, more of you. It's the biggest lie in the church. More of you. No. You've got as much of Jesus as you want. Here's what Jesus wants. More of you. It's His desire. Jesus' desire is for more of you. Will you listen? Will you say yes today? Even if the Lord asks you to do something uncomfortable? If the Lord says, I want to use you. I want to use you where you're at to be a light. You know, many of you have come to this church from another church, from other places. And probably for a variety of reasons. Here's my thing. Don't stop. I'm not saying don't stop here. I'm saying don't stop in your growth, in your search for what God has got for you. This is not arrival. This is a place where God wants to put in you so that you can be effective ministers in this world. So I believe, just like the disciple says, we can't do all this because this is important to us, that we pray and seek the word. Right? That's what's important for us as apostles. So let's get some men together that we can trust that will take care of this problem, because this problem's real. I'm telling you, there's things happening in this body right now that we need people to come alongside and say, you can count on me. You can count on me. I'm here, and I'm saying yes to the Holy Ghost. If the Lord wants to use me in leadership or use me wherever he wants, I say yes. And let me just say, it may not be a Bridge of Hope. You may go to church here, but feel like I'm supposed to help at Tomorrow's Hope. I'm supposed to help at the Hope Center over here. I'm supposed to mentor men. I'm supposed to do this. That's good. You have my applaud. Go into the community and do good things. The Word of God says we overcome evil by doing good. Boy, for some reason, you just quit getting excited on me. Say, Pastor, are you telling us we're supposed to be a bunch of do-gooders? Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Treva's mom used to say, don't be ugly, be Christian. Well, I have found that many Christians are ugly. They don't act too Christ-like. And so you hear what I'm saying? It's time that Christians act Christ-like. It's time that we do good in our community, in our home. We're in the church. Wherever, I just know that the Spirit of God is saying, I haven't stopped using this. I haven't stopped my method. My method is still to use people to affect change in the world. So until you can say yes to the Holy Ghost, that I'm willing to help, stop fussing about our world. I don't want to hear another one of you gripe about politics until you're ready to pray about it and vote. Shame on Christians when they don't vote. Amen. Nothing like ending on a high note. Amen. Would you stand with me? You remember years ago, the old sayings, the old posters, Uncle Sam wants you, right? He'd have his arm out. Uncle Sam wants you. You hear me? The Holy Ghost wants you. I'm not talking about salvation. Now, if you're not saved, the Holy Ghost definitely wants you to get saved. That's absolutely the first calling of God. But after that, don't stop. Don't stop because you got your ticket punched. Oh, I'm going to heaven. Yeah, well, praise the Lord. Who are you taking with you? It's more than just about you. Are you still praying for your kids? Are you still praying for prodigals? Are you still praying for people that's in this world that you work with every day to get saved? God wants you. You hear me? God wants you. Will you say yes? That's a personal question. I can't answer it for you. But I believe with all my heart he's asking you. He's asking you today. Will you say yes to the Holy Spirit? Father God, I come before you right now. I've delivered the message that you have laid on my heart. Father, not only did you give me this message, but you gave me a lot of excitement with it. Father, I hope that I have shared it equally the way I have felt it. I hope I have shared your heart today, where you're calling people to leadership. You're calling people to lay down their life, to pick up the cross of Christ, to deny themselves to honor you. God, I pray right now that the overwhelming answer in this church is yes. God, I'll do what you want me to do, and I'll go where you want me to go. Father, I pray for the person that may not know you in this room right now, that they would say, I don't think I'm even saved. I'm not sure I'd go to heaven if I died. Father, I pray right now, may the Spirit of God draw them to Christ. And if that's you, you need to repent of your sin. And you need to ask Jesus to come in your heart. It would go something like this: Jesus, I recognize today that I'm a sinner. And I'm looking, Lord, I need a Savior. I'm asking you, Jesus, would you forgive me of all my sins? Can my past be put back? Can my past be taken away from me? Can I have a do-over and a start-over right now? I want to surrender my heart to you, and I want to follow you all the days of my life. If you'll save my soul, I'll follow you. That, my friend, we call salvation. But you got to pray it from your heart. You got to really mean it. And then the Lord's going to open up your spiritual ears. And the Lord's going to begin to speak to you. And he'll talk to you, and it won't be audible, but it'll be something inside of your heart that you hear, that you'll recognize eventually. I believe that's the Lord speaking to me. And Christians, he does want to talk to you. He talks to us through his word, but the Spirit of God wants to talk to us. We got to get quiet sometimes and just listen. So Lord, I pray, Lord, this is a message for maturity, to grow up, to handle our problems differently maybe than what we're handling them. So I pray, Lord, let the Spirit of God lead and guide these decisions. Birth this in our heart and let this word fall in good ground. Let us do something different than we've been doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Denny, if you'd come and end. Trim and I are not going to greet you at the door today, but we're going to go back. And if you are new here at the church, we really do. This is a bit selfish. I don't like pastoring a church that I don't know the people. I want to know you. And so if we've not met formally, or if I still can't get your name down, it sometimes takes me a little while. Come on back to the back of the fellowship. We got some snacks, and we just want to meet you. We want you to know us, know our heart. So God bless you.
And that's true if this is your very first time here, or if you've been coming for 6 months and you just haven't been able to talk with them. We encourage you to stay for a few minutes, talk with them a little bit, get to know them. You'll be glad you did, for sure. Raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may he keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.